Author Notes, Martha Carr, June 21st, 2019. I used to think that being a team player meant taking a back seat. Let someone else lead, unless the project was my idea, and then control everything. One route meant I had checked out and wasn't contributing as much as I could have, and the other was stressful for everyone, including me, and I wasn't letting them contribute their spark of genius. But fortunately, I wore myself out about a dozen years ago and went in search of a different way. Lots of sweat lodges, vision quests, spiritual self-help books, and talk, talk, talk. I was getting better-ish, but my anxiety was still pretty close to my hairline. Truth is, I was feeling better temporarily when doing these things, but I wasn't actually getting better. It was all temporary. Oops, wait. Life had a different idea. 2 years into my quest, I was abruptly diagnosed with terminal cancer. The surgeon who I had just met 5 minutes earlier sat me down and said matter-of-factly, "You have a 1% chance of living longer than a year." I had no symptoms, and frankly, that's more often the case, but the end was near. What really happened is I was getting the chance to turn my entire life around. The effects were almost immediate. Instead of raising my anxiety, everything calmed down for me. I was about to check out, and it was more important to me to clean up anything that needed it and leave on good terms. I mean, if I'm about to meet God, I'd like the meeting to go well. I also got the chance to listen to other people's conversations about bills or lack of boyfriends or bad bosses, and I felt no connection to it. Instead, I marveled that this was what ate up their time. I looked at what had consumed me for years in a new light and realized none of the bad things I imagined ever came to pass. It was wasted effort. Two other really big gifts came out of it all as well. The first one was I stopped caring what other people thought. It stopped being my filter or my motivation. I really had no time left to babysit someone else's feelings, and how they felt became their responsibility. You want to feel badly? Okay, I honor it, but I'm not tending to it. And I became more interested in people who were looking for a solution. Bad things might still happen, but they were dealing with it. They needed an ally and not a babysitter. I was on board. The other thing was I got to assess where I was in life and whether or not I liked it. Were there regrets? Keep in mind, this was at the tail end of the Great Recession, and I didn't have much. I had also been published traditionally to some great praise, been a national columnist, but no real financial success. If I found a $5 bill in my purse, it felt like I'd won something. And yet, I loved where I was because I was being true to myself, and I may not have gotten to everywhere I wanted to be, but at least I was on the road. No regrets. Imagine getting a glimpse like that. Then, the phone call came, and the nurse was more shocked to tell me than I was to hear it. They couldn't explain it. But the new tests showed I had gone into spontaneous remission. No one knew why or how long it would last. They felt comfortable raising my odds to a 35% chance, and I felt like dancing. I had gained 34 points. Then when I stayed in remission for a while, they raised my odds to 50-50. I thought, well, it's time to get back to life. Looks like I'm going to live. Sure, I had just as much chance at that point of dying as I did at survival. But those seemed like pretty good odds after 1%. And that ability to look toward the solution, to get back to what I can be doing, has stuck with me. I celebrated by jumping out of a plane and sailing through the sky. Here's what I got out of all of it. I have no idea what the future is bringing. And I can choose to anticipate something good or dread something bad. I'm going with the good, and if it's something I don't like instead, I'll deal with it. In the company of other like-minded people, and we'll find solutions and let go of the rest. There's not enough time to do all the wonderful things I'd like to be doing to waste any on fretting over things that haven't happened or stuff I don't have any control over. I'm going back to living. Postscript. Since that first bout, I've had cancer 6 more times, and I'm still out here kicking ass, having a grand time, getting into things all the time. Why not? The offspring refers to me as a 1%er, and it's a good reminder. The odds may be with you. What do you want to be doing? And if they're not, I'll be gone and won't be worried about it then either. More adventures to follow. Author Notes, Michael Anderley, June 25th, 2019. Thank you for not only reading this story, but these author notes as well. I think I've been good with always opening with thank you. If not, I need to edit the other author notes. Random, sometimes thoughts? So, if you have been around enough of our books, those between Martha and me, I refer to these types of author notes where Martha explains something amazing in her life as author note blocking. Because how the heck do I top that? I can't. I've been too blessed in my life. I've never had cancer, don't want it, and frankly never want it. So Martha has taken the hits for the team here. The idea behind an author note blocking is that her author notes are so compelling, I really can't top them. So I come up with something frivolous, usually, like best comments about donuts. Here are three I particularly like. 1. Donuts, an excuse to have cake for breakfast. 2. How about it isn't you cheating on your diet with donuts, but rather you are cheating on your donuts with a diet. 3. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Except donuts. Donuts taste like skinny can go F itself. Damn it. Now I want donuts. Around the world in 80 days. One of the interesting, at least to me, aspects of my life is the ability to work from anywhere and at any time. In the future, I hope to reread my own author notes and remember my life as a diary entry. La Puente, California, USA. I'm sitting at the kitchen table typing up these notes, having been stung by a wasp on the neck earlier this morning. Why? Because I sent a couple of streams of wasp spray into their nest, somewhere behind a hole that went into my attic. I was about 30 feet away, thinking I was far enough, until that one headed in my direction. I didn't think I still had that amount of pick up the feet and put them down quickly until that moment. I swear I don't remember the distance between where I was standing and the gate going out beside the garage. That damned wasp followed me all the way to the trash can where I thought I had lost it. Until I felt something on my neck. The sting wasn't too bad. I think I got it before it gave me the full whammy. My wife put on some hydrocortisone and I left to go to Home Depot, like the man I am. There's nothing like killing a nest of wasps and dueling nature to make you feel all testosterone-y and stuff. When I came back, there were still two or three buzzing around the nest area. I left them alone and went inside. Fan pricing. 99-cent Saturdays, new LMBPN stuff, and 99-cent Wednesday, both LMBPN books and friends of LMBPN books. Get great stuff from us and others at tantalizing prices. Go ahead. I bet you can't read just one. Sign up at lmbpn.com/email. How to market for books you love. Review them so others have your thoughts. And tell friends and the dogs of your enemies, because who wants to talk to enemies? Enough said, winky emoji. Ad eternitatum, Michael Anderley.